I don't know if it's more appropriate to say, is there a doctor in the house or I'm with the band?
That's very funny. Both. You have both here.
Both apply.
That's right. In this case,
today, Christine.
Both work. Thanks for joining us on Olympic and Bundy. I'm Christine Devine, your host, and I love talking to people who come to us here at this West LA location about some really neat things that are happening. Oh, yeah. I love what you two represent. Doctors who have a band, who wear their surgical uniforms. In case there's something in the audience, you need to step out and cover the medical end of things.
And that has happened at a gig before.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm hoping everybody was okay.
Everybody was fine, but they were very happy we were there.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Docs of Doheny, and I'll have my two guests introduce themselves. Carrie?
I'm Carrie Strom. I'm a gastroenterologist at Cedars, and have loved music my entire life, decided to pursue it more, but played as a kid, but rekindled it recently.
What, for those who may not know, what is a gastro doctor, and do I ever want to see you?
Well, you probably don't want to see me, but you may need to. So I scope people. I do colonoscopies and endoscopies, and been doing it for a long time, and that is a real passion of mine.
Okay.
Until the music got in the way, of course.
I'm glad that it's your passion. I do know a colonoscopy is so very important. At what age are we supposed to get
this? So 45.
45.
And it saves lives because 5-6% lifetime risk.
I had a colleague who passed from cancer, and he said, if only I had gotten my test.
Yeah, I've heard that before, Christine, a lot of times. And, you know, it's like any health maintenance. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that because we're here, but any screening, mammograms, pap smears, prostate cancer screening, colonoscopy, saves lives, and some people do not get them and absolutely regret it later.
My husband has been on us this year to get our testing, and I was long overdue on a mammogram, like years overdue.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're much too young.
You're giving me the evil look there.
You're much too young to get it.
I love you. Well, I'm not, and I'm proud to say I did get the test done, and everything was fine, but I had been several years overdue, and I'm proud to put out that message to get that test done as well.
Oh, screening is very important. I mean, there are a few that you can screen for, but colon, breast are two that you can absolutely screen for, and to not do it would be ridiculous because it can save lives.
Yeah, and you thought you were here to talk about music.
I did.
Okay.
But I consider this some free information.
We'll introduce your bandmate now. Go ahead, Michael.
I am Michael Duffy. I'm an internist. I practice in Beverly Hills, not far, walking distance from Dr. Strom. And I've also been playing music ever since I was in grade school, played in high school in jazz bands, and played back in Minneapolis for a number of years, and took about 20 years off and raising kids and a family. And once the kids left the house, Carrie had the inspiration of a band. And so I joined in, and ever since I've been playing. So.
And I'm just dying to know how you go from being in the band in high school to becoming a doctor and which pull. Because you could have gone either way. You could have kept with music.
Well, it was a bit of a challenge because even in college, I was playing around town in Minneapolis, and it was a pull, but I'm glad I made the choice I did because I play music for fun, and I don't have to earn my living, fortunately, or I'd be starving out in the street. There's a lot of very fine musicians in Los Angeles that I feel are not getting paid their fair share, so now I can play music for fun. And I don't have to rely on it to support my family.
Well, my husband's a musician, and I do have a great appreciation for the arts. And I never realized how hard musicians work. I thought it was just a big party and just fun. But I realized a lot goes into learning a body of work.
Well, the practice is you really have to practice to get good. And as a musician, you have an ear. When you hear somebody who really shreds and kills it on the guitar, you're inspired.
And you're a guitar player.
I am, and I do practice every night, and I love it. I actually just love it. I played when I was a kid. I gave it up, and I went to the library and not the studio, but I've always had it in the back of my mind, and I put it together 15 years ago. This Dr. Duffy was my student when I was a fellow UCLA, Cedars, and I got to know him about 35 years ago. And then I started a small band, and I heard him play the trumpet. I said, man, this guy's pretty good, too. I'm going to get him. So that's when I decided my band needed a horn section, and we incorporated the horns into it, and which changed the whole type of music that we can play now. So Michael came on, and he's been a great addition to the band, and we have booked gigs. We play all the time. We've played for charities, as I told you.
Yeah.
Cedars-Sinai hired us, the American Lung Foundation.
And they must so appreciate you, being that everyone's looking up at you, knowing that you're also in the medical field.
It's unbelievable, because a lot of the people in this crowd were patients.
Yeah.
And they'd say, Carrie, my God, we didn't even know you did this. And they'd freak out, and it was totally cool. And I'd be so into it. I mean, I just got into the music so much. It de-stresses me from reality of a busy medical life. And dealing with disease and illness, yeah. And it is a great outlet. And I'm sure Michael will agree, and the band members agree. And I'll tell you something: I've made this little band into a big band, and we play frequently, probably 2 gigs a month.
Okay, so should I be calling? Because I want to call you Doctor.
No,
Carrie and Michael. Tonight it's Carrie and Michael.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't have our white coats on here, so we're musicians tonight.
Musicians right. In the house.
Right.
Well, I agree with you about how it is so de-stressing to be around music. I was never really a big music person. It just wasn't my family thing. Although my dad did play jazz when he'd be in his office in the back room. So I grew up with jazz and opera on the radio or whatever, you know, CDs or tapes or cassettes or whatever he was playing back in the day. But I'm not really from a music family. When my husband, I go to his gigs, I feel the stress melt away. It's like butter just melting
away. And he
away.
Loves it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but remember, I work in news. I'm a news anchor here in Los Angeles, so you've seen the news. You know, we do our fair share of the pain and the trauma and the suffering and the sadness. You guys are healing people. We're informing people. But to be around music and just watch the crowd going, yay, everyone's happy.
Oh, it's great.
In a festive mood. You
it's
must
great.
Love it when you look out and see the crowd.
There's no high like being on stage.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It is wonderful. And your inhibitory and your brain just de-stresses and you just feel alive. It's a wonderful feeling. I love it.
Well, that's what I love about this podcast. It's called Olympic and Bundy because Fox 11 News is here on Olympic and Bundy. And since I always can't get out to do a story, I thought if I brought you all in here, we could tell your story in a great long-form version. But I love telling the story about what you're doing out in our community, out in Los Angeles, and others can be inspired in their communities and maybe doing it in their communities. So let's talk about the band itself, Docks of Doheny. So, Michael, you play horns?
Trumpet.
I play trumpet. And you played how long?
I played since grade school.
I
played in high school. I played in jazz band, in orchestra.
Formal training?
I had some formal training, but it was actually in high school in jazz band that I was particularly inspired because we had a fantastic teacher. And that's where my soloing and things I started becoming interested in that aspect of it. So it took me in a different direction, and I was very inspired. The band, of course... Chicago was an inspiration when I was growing up. Earth, Wind, and Fire was one of my favorite bands growing up. And, of course, I'm from the land of Prince. So I had a lot of great inspiration coming from Minneapolis.
Well, I love those big bands with the many instruments and the many singers. And we talk about music these days, and rap is the really big thing. And some of the rap artists are even playing with bands now. So the feeling of instruments, you can feel it in your bones. You feel it in your bones when you see instruments.
Well, there's nothing like live music. I mean, I have been, my son was going, he told me he's going to see so-and-so, and I said, how much were the tickets? He said, about $100. I said, I never heard of him. He said, he was a DJ. I said, okay, that's that's cool. But there's nothing like live music.
Yeah.
Live music, it just lights up the room. People are into it. People get out and dance with us. Patients have come to our gigs and gotten into it. I see other side of people. And it's healing. It really is another form of healing besides medicine. And we are healers, but this is a different way of healing. And it's a passion. I mean, when we decided to become doctors, we knew as kids what our destiny was. I knew at 6. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I never strayed. I'm sure Michael knew the same. But music has always been in my blood. I took music lessons as a kid, and my guitar teacher would say, Carrie, you have to sing a little bit. You have to sing. And I was nervous and shy. Not anymore. Because I'll get up there.
Not anymore. No,
I have no inhibitions, but it's a passion. And I never really, it never wavered for me. I wanted to do music, but I wanted to be a doctor as well. So I thought it was never too late. And what happened for me is I played as a kid. I played at my wedding, actually, with the band. I always was inspired in my, I'm from Chicago, so I love the Blues Brothers, Sweet Home Chicago. I love that song. And I played that at my wedding. But about 15, 20 years ago, I walk into the Guitar Center, and I said, I'm going to buy a nice guitar and really get back into it. I gave it up for a little bit because I was busy with other stuff, so to speak. So I meet this man who had a lot of tattoos and piercings, and I said, Nothing wrong with that. I ended up loving this guy. I said to him, you play guitar, don't you? He says, oh, absolutely. He says, I'm a studio musician. I said, you're hired. His name was David Martin. And David Martin ended up taking me from a level here up to here and played with us for a while. So he really inspired me, and that got me back on into the track. And I've been still take some lessons from professional studio musicians, and I look at YouTube and I just practice it. To me, this is great. I used to golf, not anymore. It's music. It's my thing now.
It's addicting. Well, you know, I think of my doctors, and they all seem so reserved to me. So to imagine you all up on stage rocking out, I think what I love about this podcast is we're talking about community heroes, game changers, and to me, to find your passion, to find that thing that you do off-duty that you love as much as your on-duty job, to find that relief is so important, and that's why I love this podcast. And you guys have been playing right. together for how long?
It's been, the band's been 10 together.
Years.
Well, it's been at least 5-6 years.
Yeah. So we've played in different bands. Okay. We've both played in different bands. But this band, I found the right mix. And I've never played more out live than another band than with this band. I mean, I'm telling you, I showed you our schedule. We have a lot of engagements coming up for the next year.
And the band is called Docks of Doheny. If you're from Los Angeles, you know Doheny. If you're not from L.A., how would you describe Doheny?
Well, so let me tell you how I got the name.
Okay.
So I do gastro, I told you, and I work out of the Doheny Endosurgical Center. So I said, I was thinking of names and coming up with
it's
a
name. It's hard to find a name.
Oh, my
Everything's
God.
Everything's taken.
I thought of Night Call. I thought of.
But you got to Google it. Oh, it's already taken in Pittsburgh.
I've thought of so many names. Yeah. So. They're not crazy about the name of the band. Duffy's laughing.
Like the Docks part. You know exactly what you're getting.
Okay, the Docks of Doheny, it sort of came to me. But believe me, I've heard a lot of flack with this name. But anyhow, that's the name. It was named after my surgical center where I do most of my procedures. I had some of the doctors that used to work there play there. So I said, what the heck, Docks of Doheny? Okay, it's not the greatest name, but
I bet
give me a better
nobody
one.
Nobody else has that.
Give me a better name.
Nobody's going to take that one.
That's so funny. Okay, so Michael, you are an internist.
Correct.
What does an internist do?
I'm your first call when you get sick. So I'm primary care. So I'm the kind of the main person that people call when they're in trouble, abdominal pain, chest pain, or whatever it is. So that's kind of the deal. I'm primary care, and I work with a lot of great subspecialists. I've worked with Dr. Strom for many years. So I work with a lot of the doctors in the Cedars community primarily, but I work with doctors anywhere and all over the country.
Okay. So how often do you all practice, Kerry?
Well, I practice every night.
Really?
I mean, yes.
You get home.
I get home. I have dinner, talk with my wife a little bit. She's doing her thing. And now my kids are all gone, so we have plenty of time now. So I'll go into the backyard, have a little place, and I will absolutely practice. And I love it. And then it's too late. I have to go to sleep because I have to get up at 6 in the morning and work. And work sort of gets in the way sometimes a little bit. Not really. But, I mean, to play guitar
darn
well.
Darn that work. You got to go
I'm
to work.
Telling you,
darn it.
To play that guitar well, you have to practice hours and hours. Now, I have patients that are big-time people that you've heard of. And they say, look at it. I play 6-7 hours a day. I mean, to do it professionally. And to be good, you have to. And I'll tell you, I always feel after a gig that I could have done better. But one of my famous singer patients told me, Kerry, if you screw up, keep smiling. Nobody will know the difference. And it's true. except the guys in the band or the girls in the band.
And you aren't naming names, and I'm sure that that's by choice, but we do live in Los Angeles. We do live in Beverly Hills. We live in Hollywood. And so there are famous people amongst us at the grocery store, you know? So you have these famous people that you probably encounter on a regular basis. I'm wondering, Michael, do you also have famous patients that perhaps are in the music world?
Yes, I do. Yeah. To remain nameless.
Sure.
But in fact, it's an interesting segue because there are so many people in the Los Angeles community that are involved in music. Yeah. And one of the things that I've found very fun is we'll take care of business, if you will.
And then you can chat.
And then, by the way... Let me ask you, so what about this particular venue that you played at or these people that you've worked with? Or what do you think about this? Or have you listened for this particular drum solo or something? So very many times I'll interject musical sort of interplay into the discussion. And it really creates a fun bond. I remember recently talking to somebody about it and saying... I think it was talking about, he was a singer or something. And I said, hey, by the way, did you hear Rick James when he worked with Tina Marie? And he said, no, I never heard that song. You got to listen to that. Rick James is a fantastic singer from the past. Check it out. So it's a lot of fun to interject some of the music into the discussion with patients.
One of the neat things about the city that we live in is that, you know, we do work with people in the industry. I mean, we come across them regularly. I think that's kind of a little different from maybe other cities where maybe there are other bands or people have careers and they have their band. The chance just to bump into people who are doing music for a living has got to be fascinating for you guys.
Well, when I see, I'm not going to lie to you, when I have a musician coming in, I'm like really stoked.
Yeah, right.
I love
I'll trade you jobs.
Yeah, we start talking. I get to know them a little bit. I like to talk to my patients. That's what I love about medicine. I spend time. I look at the patient, not at the computer. Everybody knows what I'm talking about when they go to see the doctor. Now they're typing. Anyhow, I spent time with them, and then I said, you know, maybe we can open for you next time.
You're right, exactly.
They say, yeah, maybe not.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I push it. I'm not going to lie.
Do you ever go to shows and then, like, I know with my husband being in the business, You can't really look at music as a fan because you're in the bit, you're studying the notes, you're studying the vocals, you're studying the moves on stage. Do you find that when you go to a concert now, you're actually looking at how it's all done?
Well, I am absolutely looking on the big screen at the guitar, the fretboard, how these guys are playing the guitar, what fingers they're using. I mean, now I can really notice it. I'm absolutely looking at it a little bit differently now than just being a fan, for sure, as a musician.
Absolutely. I find myself, and I go to a lot of concerts, just saw Tower of Power last Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to the music. I actually study the music. I study and watch what each horn player is playing. I study the rhythm section, the singing, the balance, how's the sound coming off the stage, the actual physical performance. So it's you have a completely different perspective if you've played, and it points out all the things that I should be doing.
Well, I'll sometimes go to the concerts of my husband Sean and shoot some of the videos for the band so they have stuff to post on social media, and he'll get so mad at me, you can't cut the song right there, you can't cut off that note. I'm like, I'm just looking at you on stage, I'm not really listening to the things you're hearing. But you musicians, you hear,
I call that musicus interruptus.
Sorry.
and I try and have I try to play a song to its completeness, or try to edit it appropriately, because I feel like sometimes I'm violating the intent of the musician by editing it in certain ways. So
I love this. This is a lot of fun. Okay, so the band's been around for a minute. You're doing your thing. Carrie, tell me how you describe the kind of music you play and how you chose to go that direction.
So we are not millennials. And we've been around for a while practicing.
Hey, this is audio. Nobody knows that we're not millennials.
I'm just telling
unless
you,
we
I'm
tell
not,
them.
I got kids that are millennials.
I think I blew it when I said mammogram already. I gave it away right there.
All right. No, not really. Anyhow, so the music we choose, I come up with a bunch of songs and I throw it out in text messages to the band to see if they like it. And I may send them part off of YouTube, and the other musicians may throw something out there as well. But we play all different types of music. We play anywhere from disco music. We play contemporary stuff. I like Santana. I love Carlos Santana. I just love to play the guitar like him. He's really, really, really good. Bruno Mars. So we know that we cannot have just old people music, like my kids say. We need more contemporary stuff as well. And we have a young singer who's younger, who brings a whole different vibe into it. So
also a doctor.
Also a doctor, yes.
The whole band is doctors.
We're all doctors.
All right.
It's super cool. So we did a gig at Narcotics Anonymous just recently.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and that was a great – that was at the Burbank Airport, the – what was it, the convention center?
Yes, I believe Marriott Convention.
Yeah. So we did the song that they did in the Grammys, the one by Havana by Camila Cabello, our female vocalist, sang fun. That one. So we do all different types. If we hear it and we like it, we play it. Now, I tend to pick songs that have horn sections because we have a great horn section, Duffy being one of them. So we all come up with different songs, and most of these people have played, and they have an ear, and it tends to work out. A lot of what do we play at that winery? We played, we played like Boogie Oogie Oogie No More.
That's a fun one. Everyone's on the dance floor for that one.
That one I brought to the table.
Michael,
I love
thank
the
you
funk.
For that one. We like funky music. I mean, just funk sound, and it's fun. So no particular type. We're all over the map with the music.
So, Michael, name some favorite songs that you played.
Oh, well, that one, Get Lucky. I mean, we do the Brick House.
Brick House. That would get me up off the onto the dance floor.
Oh, that's a great one.
MJ, we do
Bruno Mars.
A couple Brunos. Play that funky music.
Oh, that's a good one. Wild Cherry.
Yeah, people Wild love Cherry. That. Yeah.
Oh, my God, they love that one.
Yeah, so well, just a few of the ones.
Because you're doing benefits. You're doing events. So it has to be something that the crowd is going to enjoy. Because they're there probably for the event,
What we like to do, what I like to do, I like to play for medical charities.
I love it.
Okay? So we play for the Cedars-Sinai. I told you this before off microphone.
Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
Yeah, it was the Board of Governors at the Beverly Regent Wilshire, and my God, this night we met Al Jarreau.
Oh.
May he
impressive.
Rest in peace. Yes. Michael and I sat in the green room with him for an hour, and he talked about himself. He's from Wisconsin. I mean, it was just so inspiring. We opened for Al Jarreau.
Oh, wow.
So that was
lovely man.
That was
lovely
absolutely man. Terrific. We played for the American Lung Foundation. We volunteered for that to raise money for lung cancer research. So I love playing for medical charities. I don't mind any charity, but I love medical charities because they get a kick out of it because we show up in scrub clothes. We don't look like this. This guy
this, I should say, you're in a
I'm
shirt
in a tie.
And tie. Michael's in a jacket.
I'm coming from work.
Yeah.
Dr. Duffy wears a thing on his head. He's Dr. Funk. He wears these purple scrubs.
Dr. Funk. Oh, you have a band name. Dr.
That's
Funk.
That's my stage name.
So everybody everybody, you know, you ever go on vacation, you just sort of like feel uninhibited?
Yeah.
That's how we feel on stage.
That's right.
And how many members are in the band?
There's nine.
Nine. Yeah. That's a big band.
Yeah. It's a big band.
Boy.
But, I mean, you know, sometimes people aren't available,
sure.
So we may have some substitutes as well. But, you know, if they're in medical field, I mean, we've had not just doctors, we've had technicians, we've had pharma reps play with us. Mm-hmm. So some type of medical related.
So, Michael, how often are you guys meeting up to rehearse?
Well, it depends on. Usually, we try to get together once a week to rehearse. It depends if we have new material or not. Well, actually, Dr. Strom has a little place in the back of his house.
So I have a little room in the back of the house that I sort of set up for music. But I mean, sometimes it can be geographically undesirable. So I may rent a studio in Culver City or in the Valley, depending on.
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, you can rent studios in L.A. because they're all over the place for $25-$30 an hour. And you walk in, he walks in with his trumpet, I walk in with my guitar. You don't have to bring an amplifier or microphone. Everything is there. So that's
great sound.
Like this.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So we do find places to practice. I mean, driving in L.A. and getting to a practice at 6 o'clock, as you know, can be.
It's a commitment.
Oh, yeah, it can be awful. So we do practice frequently. If we have gigs coming up, we'll do more. Or if they're like low-key gigs, we can just show up and play, actually, because we play these songs so many times.
And if we have new material that we're working on. Yeah,
new material, we got to go over it a little bit to make it tight. Yeah. We all know how to do it, but we got to put it together into one piece.
So let's talk about the college days, the school days, when you're getting your medical degrees. Were you able to maintain music in your lives, playing instruments and performing it all during those days, or were you just all about school?
Well,
Michael, go ahead.
I played a bit in a Latin band back in Minneapolis. So you
kept up with it.
So I kept up for several years. I wasn't able to continue through medical school all the years, but certainly in undergraduate I played.
Mm-hmm. Carrie?
Yeah, I wasn't as good. I mean, medical school's a lot of work. But I did have other jobs. I suppose I didn't have to work at Waiters in the summer in Chicago to earn some money. I could have played music. But I gave it up for a while. I gave it up for a while because I just did not have time. I mean, medical school's a lot of work.
Well, that's why I love this chapter of the conversation, because I think many of us have started to work on our careers. And you think of those things that were passion projects that maybe we would have liked to have done. When in life do you find it, you can start picking it back up? When was it that you thought, you know what, I've really worked on my career. I really know my craft. I really know what I'm doing here. I'm solid. I'm going to start looking at some other things in life to fill out my puzzle of what I do.
Well, for me, it was a number of years ago when Dr. Strom had been bugging me for a while to
pick up the horn,
join his band, and I wasn't quite ready for it, and I wanted the band to go through certain changes and things, and finally, my wife wasn't aware of the commitment that was required as a trumpet player. It's not quite like piano, perhaps, or guitar. Your chops have to be like working all the time.
Oh, really?
So, I said, okay, let me see what I can do. I hadn't been playing, and I talked to my wife, and I said, Dr. Strom has been bugging me for 2 years to join his band. She said, you know, why don't you go ahead? And it was at a time in life when the kids were out of the house. So,
okay, so this is a long chapter where you weren't in a band.
Oh, I was, like I said, I hadn't been playing for 20 years.
Wow.
I love this. Because it was, and the truth of the matter is, it was a tremendous void, because music has been sort of a creative outlook. I look at life as a balance. What is the balance? The balance between your intellectual side, your physical side, your emotional side, your spiritual side, your creative side. And for me, that was my creative outlet, and it was my therapy for many years. And so it had been kind of a void. And I didn't realize how much I had missed it until I got back into it. And my wife didn't realize what sort of commitment it was until I got back into it. But at any rate, so I, if you will, auditioned, so to speak, and things worked out. There were some changes made to the band, and things took off from there. And so I've had the good fortune of working with Dr. Strom and many other people in the band. So it's
Michael,
been a journey.
You can call me Carrie.
I know we go back and forth. Carrie, Dr.
But,
Strom.
But I want to mention something, Christine. So, I mean, don't take this in the wrong way, but Michael's wife and I had a very special relationship because she was a nurse in the GI lab where I worked. So I knew her very, very well. So I think
she's
that
like, okay, you can hang with him. You can be in a band with him.
But Michael and I have been friends for 30 some years as well, socially before the music. So it was sort of like a good fit.
You know, I'm wondering though, as different people of different generations and ages listen to our podcast, and Oscar here, who's on our producer, is a younger generation here. What this must be like when they hear a podcast like this, to think that, well, I'm so engrossed in my career, will I ever get to do this again? Or if you're already at that point where you're looking at the this or doing the this, whatever it is, or if maybe you're just starting out and not even thinking about the extra stuff in life, that you're just so focused and driven trying to, you know, build your career as you start out. It'll be interesting to see where people are at as they listen to this. But I wanted to get into the healing part for you all as human beings, and let also our viewers, listeners know on this podcast, Olympic and Bundy, before we sign off, we're going to for sure play some of your music so they can hear the band. As you started to do this passion project on the side here, besides your careers, Carrie, what did you think it started to do for you? How did it change you?
Oh, well, music for me has always been a healer. I mean, look at let's go through life. I mean, there's stresses in life, and, you know, life is 90% of 10% of what happens and 90% how you react. So music, for me, has always made me even. I mean, I listen to music. It puts you in a different place. So I love performing, and I love doing it for people, to see them be happy, to get out on the dance floor, to recognize us. But also, I'm taking a little bit for me, because it really puts me in a different place. It de-stresses me, as I said, from my professional life, which can be very stressful when you're telling a patient they have something bad. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, health is wealth. And you know something? Let's get back to your other, what you were saying about my career's so busy. Yes, everybody's got busy lives, but you know something? Life doesn't last forever. Mm-hmm. And if you have a passion in your heart, you got to go for it, because you're going to have regrets if you don't do it. And by the way, an aside, I mean, to prevent changes of your brain, stimulating music, reading music, and playing an instrument also prevents all that as well. That's a side benefit. But I think everybody, if they have something in their heart and they want to do it, don't wait. Do it. Do it. Because if you wait too long, then you won't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mentor some young people in the arts and music, some singers, and kind of attached to a little rock band as well myself, and a girl who was on American Idol. And I found that it created a new passion within me. And I thought, gosh, I've had such a great passion with news and community events and being part of Los Angeles community as a newscaster. But is there another passion beyond news? And I did find that other passion
and
with
you
these
loved
young
it.
Love it. And right. I don't want to be on stage. I want to help them get on stage. I want to carry their stuff and hold their purse and make sure they're on time and get their music in and shoot their photos. I love the behind the scenes stuff of it. So I know what you mean about finding whatever it is out there for anybody listening to this, to find that other passion that feeds the soul and fills the heart. And I'm wondering, Michael, what do you get out of it?
Well, as I mentioned before, I it's my therapy, and as
we're all in therapy of
that's
sorts.
Right,
everybody is,
and it's a lot less expensive than medication and a psychotherapist. But I tell my patients when we have this discussion, I say I never met anyone on their deathbed that said, "Gee, I wish I had spent more time at the office," and I think that one needs to take that time away and find their passion. It's never too late. No matter how old you are, you can always find something that you like to do. The nice thing about music is it's an international communication, and it's something that pretty much everyone can relate to. And so you don't even have to speak the language and you can appreciate the music. And that's what I like. It's an international appreciation and communication.
You had mentioned, Carrie, that you sometimes have to give patients difficult news.
It's the worst.
Yeah. And so it reminds me of being working in news. I'm delivering some very difficult things.
Right.
And my mom came out once and watched the newscast, and she said, "My God, what are you putting in your brain? It's the awful things that happen." I like to think that sometimes we're giving people justice as we cover some of their stories. As a victim is seeking justice, we're covering some of that stuff. We're, even if it's a short story, we're letting people know that their loved one mattered sometimes, that what happened mattered. How can we make things better? I do believe in giving back, and obviously you all, that's another chapter of this, the giving back part of it, because you're performing at benefits to help raise money for whatever cause it is that you're at.
Right, and we are not really looking to make anything off of this. We're not doing it for any financial.
You have a day job?
I have a day job, and I'm fine with that. But it just, you know, there's richness, and forget the pocketbook, but it's in the heart. I mean, our first part of our life really was to make ourselves to do something. The second part is significance. And just to play and to see people happy, and they can raise some money for a good organization that may cure cancer or pulmonary issues, to me, makes me feel so good. And it just, the music is, the medicine is great because we have such intimacy with our patients. If they tell us stuff that they won't tell anybody else. I mean, when somebody's ill, they talk to you. And they may not talk to their spouse like that. But the music is another type of intimacy as well. And I'll tell you something. I think the response has been great. And that just makes us want to do more.
Well, I'm a big advocate of everybody finding some way to give back. And I do believe that we all do give back in some way. You know, I do a lot of community events. I don't have children, so I've got a lot of free time. People have said to me, "You do so much." I say, we all do so much. It's in different ways. I mean, if you're being kind to your neighbor, that's a lot. If you're coming to work with a smile and joy, that's a lot. So I believe that we're all giving back in some way. But is that part of the journey for you, Michael, the giving back part of it? That, I mean, you know, obviously you're doing your career and you're very helpful to a lot of people, but this is a whole different way to be a part of the community.
Absolutely. I think it's wonderful to be part of any of these charities. And also to the response from the patients that are maybe in the crowd and the crowd itself. I think it's a great way to give back.
And with any fundraiser, I think, too, the different pieces of the puzzle that are coming together to make it work, to bring those dollars in, you're a key component of it, being on that stage, bringing that music, bringing that entertainment.
Absolutely. Yeah, we look forward to it.
You know, you mentioned before that you see your doctors being a little bit
conservative. Maybe quiet.
Our patients see us as being human doing this and
right.
Emotional and outside of the office. They see us being rounded, and that just solidifies our relationships with these people. I can't tell you how it's changed relationships with me and my patients when they know I have this outside interest and I know I get on a stage in front of 500 to 1,000 people and sing my heart out and play my guitar and shred that guitar. They see a different side of Dr. Strom. And I can tell you, I've been practicing for a long time and I have such good relationships with these people. This, in a weird way, has made it better because they see...
They're like, look at him go.
Yeah, because we're not just this straight-laced person in the office. We are people, and we have outside interests, and we're rounded.
Well,
and they appreciate that.
I think, too, for people to see you having fun
they love
is so
it.
Important. I mean, that to me is healing, too. I mean, I think of, you know, a colleague, friend of mine is going through a difficult time with health. To look up and see their doctor having fun, or for anybody to look over and see them having fun, I think is inspiring for us because we all want to have fun. We all want to smile and laugh and have friendships and camaraderie and something to do on a Saturday night.
I think what really inspired me is because so many times you know, you're well one day, all of a sudden you wake up, your eyes are a little yellow, you got back pain, you got a bad thing in your pancreas, and you think, I wish. So medicine has been such a good barometer for me to live my life now and not wait till tomorrow. So that really inspired me to pick this up because I've always wanted to do it, but I never did it because I was too busy. Well, guess what? You're not too busy, and today's the right day to start.
Oh, that's well said. Michael, when you look out and see people looking back up at you.
Well, I think part of the thing of being in a band and the live music is the interplay between the crowd and the band. And you're looking at a bandmate and saying, this is sounding pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, they're getting into it. And so I measure it by, the dance floor. Can we keep them out in the dance floor? And when you're seeing people out in the dance floor having a great time, and sometimes some of the band members will go out there and play and join them, it all comes together. And like I said, there's no greater, if you will, high than the feedback we get from performing.
Well, it was so new to me when I met my husband. I got a chance to introduce the band for a benefit once, and I remember getting up on stage, because if you watch our newscast at 5 and 10 p.m. here at Fox 11, a little plug there, there's nobody in the studio. We're automated, so we have nobody running the camera. It's just the anchor sitting out there on set with a stage manager for the most part. So I get up on stage and I go to introduce the band, and everyone's a crowd of like whatever, hundreds of people are looking up at me. I'm on stage with this microphone, and when the band kicked in, I'm like, oh, I get it now. I get the high of being on stage and performing and showing your stuff with the guitar. My husband's a bass player. But I got it. And, you know, I don't get that in my business because, you know, there's nobody in the studio when we do the news. But it must feel so good to see people enjoying your music and performance.
It feels more than good.
Yeah, it's the interaction.
It's like a drug.
It is.
It's just fantastic. And just see everybody getting into it and appreciating it, and sound the band playing together, and it sounds tight. It's really satisfying. It's really super good.
The other thing about live, as opposed to the pre-recorded, and my son is involved in DJing, and
I love that too. I'm a nightclub
so
girl.
No, it is a lot of fun. Yeah. But what's interesting is that with a live performance, you never know. There's always some risk there.
Oh, right.
There's risk of, okay, the solo, is that going to come in? Is everybody going to come together at the right time? And so no performance, even of that same song, is ever precisely the same. And that unpredictability is part of what's fun. There's a little bit of risk involved. And I find that very challenging and entertaining.
Yeah,
but if you're in the audience, you wouldn't know the difference. Right. Because the musicians are good enough to realize, he didn't do his thing, I better do something. Yeah. And it always seems to work out just fine. And the people are having a great time.
Now, is there music in the family for both of you? Michael, I know your son.
Well, my son is involved. He has a real day job, but he's also doing some DJing, and
that's a big thing these days.
Pretty successfully, yeah. And I will concede it is a lot of fun. And what's fun is sometimes when they interplay live musician with some of the recorded music, and that brings in a whole another element. But yeah, my whole family's into it. My wife and I, we go to concerts all the time, and see, probably seen a dozen concerts in the last 2 months. So we see a lot of music.
What's your son's DJ name? We should give him a plug.
Plug, Michael.
DJ Duff.
Love it. DJ Duff. Mm-hmm. Last name being Duffy.
All right.
Yes. Okay. And where's he doing his thing?
He is actually going to be in, I think it's Senator Jones in Santa Monica. He'll be doing soon. He's played at a few places in Santa Monica.
Around town.
So he's got a little schedule. I don't even have his full itinerary in front of me, but
that's
neat.
I mean, we've done a couple of stories on DJs, and it's just such a big thing these days. Those Vegas residencies, some of the big famous ones, they're making some big bucks.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huge. And carry music in your family?
Well, I've tried to turn my kids on to playing every imaginable instrument, but they did not take. So as a matter of fact, my kids tell me, Dad, turn the music down. I mean, that's how it is.
Oh, that's funny.
So we love music. They don't play. I'm the only one that plays, and I think it's like, oh, Dad, you're not good, okay? But, I think they really know that we're pretty good. They just don't want to give me the bone.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyhow, no, they don't play.
I'm good enough to do these benefits.
My dad used to play.
Okay.
He played the clarinet.
Okay, so you have music in the family.
And he was darn good.
Awesome.
And actually, when I was younger, when I was in grade school, I played the saxophone, but I'm going to admit it, man, I didn't know what I was doing with the saxophone. So I took up the guitar, and that was a little bit different.
I have great appreciation because my family, we were kind of the jack of all trades, master of nothing, which means, well, this summer we'll do piano, and then we'll do tennis next summer, and then we'll do swimming next summer. So we really mastered nothing and no instrument. You know, my husband thought he could train me to sing until he heard me sing. And he's like, get off the stage. So that didn't last very long. So I have great appreciation for anybody who can pick up an instrument, who can get on stage and perform. And
you can't be shy. Let me just say this. You got to have some guts, but you got to have confidence too. But you know, if you have good musicians behind you, mm-hmm. it lessens the anxiety when you're up there. So, and we happen to have very good musicians.
Anxiety, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've heard of people with stage fright. I mean, I'll tell you, I've prescribed something called Inderol for people, big-time singers, when they get on stage because of anxiety. They get nervous. But when you have good people around you and have confidence, it makes it easier.
You know, the fascinating thing for me is when I see the members of the band standing there holding their instruments, and then that first, I guess, note kicks in, or it kicks in, and then it's music.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Right.
That it comes together like that.
It's always a little more difficult before the performance starts. But once you're into it, you know, you just let your fingers work and your heart sing. And
well, I think, too, Michael, at a benefit, you know you're with a loving audience, an appreciative audience. That helps, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And once that first note comes out, it's like, okay, now we go. It's an autopilot.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm telling you, when the people are up there clapping and dancing and singing, you know, you just sort of feel relaxed. It's good.
So in the Docks of Doheny, you obviously, Carrie, you're the guitar player. Michael, you're trumpet. So you have a lead singer?
So we have, yes, we have a couple of lead singers. We have a keyboard player.
That's a great instrument.
Oh, and he's a very good one. We have a drummer, of course.
Bass.
Another guitar player, a bass player. And we have two saxophone players, and we have Michael, who's the horn player.
And are you getting any applications around town? People say, need a fill-in?
Well, it's funny.
Any chance the drummer's out of town? I'm a doctor here. I play the drums.
You know, it's funny. With it, when you book gigs, people want to play with you. So, yes, there are other people that would like to play with us.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But I'm loyal to my guys and my girls. And so, you know, if there's somebody can't make it, of course they're going to come and sit in. And there's so many good musicians out there that are just not doing it.
Right.
You got to be lucky. You got to be lucky. I don't know if you saw the Motown special the other night. It was the Grammy Motown 60 years.
I saw the advertisements for it.
Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic. But Berry Gordy said, it's in the first four bars. If you don't catch the audience in the first four bars, you don't have a hit song. And he was right.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, think about those songs. Everybody knew them. I mean, the first four bars, and it's sort of true.
So, Michael, you're doing cover songs now, which I think are crowd favorites. Is there a plan at all to do any of your own music for the band, Docks of Doheny?
Well, we'd like to do that. Right now, we haven't really gotten together and written anything for that, but that would be an ambition of ours, certainly.
But people like the hits.
People
That's the challenge. The challenge is that unless you really are out there and put together a strong name and have had a long lot of time to do so, they're going to want to hear music that they know.
Exactly.
And so I think that it's difficult for a band, again, unless there's so many great ones that have succeeded doing it, but for most people, it's difficult to just de novo start out and just play all your own music without doing covers. Because when people are going to a club or a venue, they're going to gravitate to songs that they have heard before. And so I think you can intersperse original tunes into cover tunes. But it's quite a challenge to go out there and just do all original tunes.
So I saw you have a big lineup for the summer. In Southern California,
we got quite a few.
Yeah,
I'm very happy.
You
want to
name off a few of the things that you're working on?
Yeah, so we are playing out in North Hills Malibu Wine Beer Garden on Sunday night, three to seven. I don't really know. And then the following Saturday night, we're playing there again, and then we have the Malibu Wines, which you play at quite a bit, but they burnt down. So we've been on
fires.
So the whole, but they're being rebuilt. And boy, if you haven't been to that place, you got to go to this place on a Saturday afternoon in the summer. You'll have 1,000 people out there. I love that venue, and they love us. So they asked me to play there so many times. So I booked probably 25, 30 gigs there this summer.
Wow.
Now, I will say, I want to put in a plug, I would love to do a charity. If somebody called me, I will be there and do their charity. I love doing that. Charities to me are very important, and it makes me feel very, very good. For medical, but even not, even others as well. So we've been pretty fortunate. A lot of bands can't book gigs. And I'll tell you, this is not my full-time job. But I will get text messages from these guys during the day in the middle of my busy medical practice. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to deal with it. So it really need to put a lot of time into this to really promote it. I have somebody doing social media. I had them do a Facebook page. I have them do a...
You're building.
Yeah, because I love it.
Yeah.
Not because I have to. I mean, I think this is so much fun. So anyhow, I'm trying. I'm pushing. I'm going to get there.
What's the dream? The forum?
Well, my dream, could you imagine what it would be to write a song and they play it on the radio a little bit and people say, damn, I love that song. It's good. And now they buy it. And all of a sudden, people know your music. Could you imagine what that feels like? That's why I admire these musicians that I see through my practice. I mean, my God, how difficult is that to do? That's my dream. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can do it. I mean, it's just really hard to write a song. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to them and you're a musician, there's three notes, three chords, but it's just put it together, the lyrics. I mean, it's beautiful. So I really admire these musicians, all of them. That's my dream, to have a number one hit. Okay, dream big.
That's all.
We put that out to the universe. All right. So as we kind of bring this podcast here at Olympic and Bundy to a close, I'd like to get some final thoughts on what you're all doing. Maybe I didn't ask the right question or I missed something. Michael, is there something you want to put out there about the Docks of Doheny?
No, I just welcome anyone to come out and see us play. It's a lot of fun. And
look for the guys in scrubs.
We can't miss us. Certainly, we look forward to seeing people at Malibu Wine.
Yeah. Carrie?
Yes. They were a little bit adverse to wearing the scrubs, I must say, at the beginning. But I said, no, man, you got to wear.
Signature.
Yes.
They'll never forget us.
And we have people coming. Are you really doctors? You guys are good. We have nurses come up to us. Medical students come up to us. And it's we wear the scrubs. We're the band that wears the scrubs, and we are physicians. And like I say in Malibu Wine, music today, medicine tomorrow. So come out and see us. You will love it. And if anybody has a charity that would like to hear us or maybe play, I would love for them to contact me.
I love that. Where do they find you?
So we have a website. It's docsofdoheny.com, and there's an email there, and they can contact us through there.
What's the secret tip? Backstage.
I think we don't go back and sing Kumbaya.
No, I mean,
but we all kind of have our own individual thing. We're all, you know, making sure that our sound check is all just right, and we all have our own instrumentation to deal with. So we don't have a particular ritual that as the band we do, per se.
Well, I will tell you that I send out a playlist, and I just want to make sure they're playing in the right key, actually. So I make sure everybody has a playlist and that I have the key it's in. I just want to make sure that they're not starting in an E and not an A, because that's not going to be good. So I just want them to have the playlist, and I want them to know what note we're starting with, and that's pretty much. And then I am ready to roll.
Well, it sounds like you all are having a lot of fun. Hopefully we can take a listen. I want to thank you so much for coming here to Olympic
thank
and Bundy
you,
to be
thank
part
you.
Of this.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It was fun. A lot of fun.
Very, very inspiring. So Dr. Carrie Strom of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and Associate Professor at UCLA, also on the guitar, thank you. And Dr. Michael Duffy, an internist in Beverly Hills, on the horns, thank you. The band is Docks of Doheny, only here in Los Angeles, coming to a stadium near you.
That's right.
A radio station near you.
That's right.
Thank you so much. I found this to be inspiring for those of us on the job and off the job. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.